Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio presents the New Ohio Wrestling Review for their number 10 event. And this is Kevin DeFrango, of course, since I am the only one that attended. And as usual, it'll probably be a fairly short review, but let's start things off. They kicked off the show with Luis Casanova taking on debuting Gino DiCapo. You know, let's just say that indie wrestling still certainly depends upon some old school heel tactics. I would have to say that there was a little bit of racism in this one, at least from a talking trash standpoint. Nothing blatantly obvious. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say that, you know, there were no words uttered that that should not have been uttered. But there certainly was some tinged commentary from Mr. DiCapo that made Mr. Casanova sound like he should be doing housework. So we will leave it at that. But it was a basic starter match. It's always good to have the crowd who was behind Luis Casanova from his previous appearance. So everyone was enjoying him. And so it made sense that that he ended up going over to get the crowd fired up and get things going. I know that he ended, I believe Corey Graves calls it an Oshi Garoshi, but it's that he had, Casanova had DiCapo on his shoulders and flipped him over into the neck breaker, and that was his finishing maneuver. So, I mean, that was something that, well, makes these reviews really short, too, is that most of these matches do not really go more than 10 minutes. So it's hard to, you know, no one's going 20, 30 minutes in these things. So there isn't really an epic battle. But they do tend to tell a good story in the time that they have. Next up was one of our interview subjects. It was Warhorse with Crosshairs Kelly and Pat the Bruiser taking on Elect Truck, Jake Ely, and Chuck the Truck. They definitely, Warhorse definitely came out like they had something to prove, because they went ahead and attacked Electruck, who was in the ring already, and things spilled the outside quickly, in which I have a number of shots. Or it was either that or they were in the ring first, and they met Ely and Chuck outside the ring to start the festivities before the bell could ring. And yeah, that kind of set the tone for the match. Warhorse definitely played the heels. Jake Ely certainly has a lovable look to him. And I, you know, Chuck the Truck was only making, I believe it's his second appearance in New Ohio Wrestling. So I'm not completely sure where the fans were with him. But Jake Ely definitely has a likability factor that works as a babyface. he ended up being the one who got worked over, since Chuck the Truck is kind of they're set up very similar to the guys that aren't there anymore, Big Cass and Enzo. So you have Jake Ely is the little guy, and Chuck the Truck is kind of the big guy backup. So Ely was in a lot of the match. And he also ended up being the one that took the pinfall for the evening. So Warhorse got to even their feud. They did not get their titles back from OCW up in Akron, but they did get a modicum of revenge on Elektruk for their previous loss. And then I was a little bit surprised that Aaron Williams, the baddest man on the planet, and our demigod friend Paragon ended up third on the card here. So the interview subjects were done and gone early in this event. But Williams came out and was messing with with Paragon a little bit by trying on his ring attire, so that kind of got some chuckles out of people and got things moving. They did end up having one of the better, to me, the better matches of the night, which I wasn't surprised by. I know that Aaron Williams works a number of promotions, including the one that is run by, I'm trying to think of their names because they're on Impact Wrestling. Down in Dayton. But yeah, and Paragon certainly seems like he could be working on a larger scale. I don't know if he is or not. But he certainly has a lot of talent, I think, in the wrestling industry. So yeah, they ended up having a good match. Their styles were somewhat similar. I would say that Williams had more kicking to his striking than Paragon did. But there was a strong MMA type component to this match. And Williams ends up winning with a roundhouse kick to the head. And yeah, and after the match, he ended up declaring that he was ready for whomever ended up winning between Brandon Fields and Dark Star Matt Taylor later in the evening. Celeste Taylor and Ethan Wright were the next ones up on the card. This is a best of five series. It was tied 1-1. Celeste Taylor is the baby face. Ethan Wright is the heel. So anytime you're in an even at this stage, A, you're always going to go five. Well, I shouldn't say always, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to go all five. So putting the baby face in jeopardy is always the way to go. And this was no different, honestly. It was another good match. Both of them are pretty solid workers. And Ethan Wright was talking to the referee, and when Taylor came to get him from behind, he gave him the old trick knee, which is the back leg up through the crotch, which the referee did not see. Which allowed Wright to give Taylor the Impaler DDT for the win. Yeah, again, like a lot of this is just kind of basic booking, which is just fantastic. The card's always subject to change in these types of situations. Keeping it simple makes a whole lot of sense. And after this, we had a little bit of an intermission. And after the intermission, Marion Fontaine took on Brandon Day. This is the first time I'd seen Brandon Day, if I'm not mistaken. And he came to the ring wearing a chain, which ended up factoring into the finish for reasons unknown to me. He tried to use it in broad sight of the referee. It ended up backfiring on him because the referee, as he was ready to swing it, took it away from him, and Marion Fontaine sunset flipped him for the win. Fontaine is a lot of fun. It was amazing me how long he's been wrestling at this juncture, just because, I mean, I saw him in Pro Wrestling Ohio. and Prime Wrestling later. So this guy's been around a long time. I mean, it was when Johnny Gargano was starting his career that he was around too. So yeah, but I know that he has a day job and a fairly good one at that. So he just likes to do this on the weekends, and he is always very entertaining, and the crowd does get behind him. So yeah, it was another solid match. The winners started making appearances after that. In this case, it was Robbie Starr and Ripper Blackheart, their manager that they added within the last couple of shows here. He accompanied them to ringside. He was taking on the Black Superman Onyx. Now, it was kind of interesting that Onyx normally has his daughter come to the ring with him as his manager. The last time around, though, she was kidnapped and cost him the match. So I'm not sure if that's the reason why he ended up not having her at ringside. An explanation was really not given one way or the other. I know that she was at the event because I saw her, but there is definitely something of a change in gimmicks. And he also had a new outfit on this time. He just wore a black t-shirt and black pant, well, a black t-shirt with a Superman symbol on it, and black pants. He normally has just a normal wrestling singlet on, but no such that was not seen this week. Robbie Starr. It was kind of funny. A friend's daughter evidently really likes the winners, which is kind of surprising considering that they do get their amount of booze for anytime you gotta proclaim that you're the winner. It does tend to tamper any positive crowd response. But the daughter really liked Robbie Starr and Brandon Fields, who is coming up next. So it was kind of interesting to see even a child, a very young child, into who the heel wrestlers. I'm not sure if it's the feather boas that got her, or if there's something else that draws her to these characters. But Starr ended up losing. He was cost by Ripper Blackheart. And this is one where I'll be kind of interested to see how this ends up playing out, just because I know that Starr wanted to be the champion, and Brandon Fields won the championship, and now the manager kind of screwed him out of a win by interfering when he shouldn't have. I will be interested to see if the winners end up having a rift over this or not. And of course, then we do come to the main event. Now that there's a new Ohio wrestling champion, that again being Brandon Fields, and he was taking on Dark Star Matt Taylor, who is from Grove City, which is just outside of Columbus here. He again he always gets a positive crowd response because Fields is with the winners, and Ripper Blackheart, the heel manager, who I guess it should be noted was wearing a Aussie family T-shirt, which or not T-shirt, like a bowling shirt. And that stuff cracked me up because I was trying to figure out when that show was on, because it had to have been a while ago, and I've been too lazy to look it up because I don't really care that much. There was yet again, well, and I mentioned it in the previous matchup, there was a kidnapping of Onyx's daughter slash valet. Last time with the NOW championship, this time around, There was yet again more interference from Ripper Blackheart and Robbie Starr. It was not of the direct variety, but it did cause a lot of commotion on the outside. Marion Fontaine and Eric Smalls ended up chasing them off. But in the end, it did not help the babyface to get the win. Brandon Fields had to use three Rainmakers to get the victory. And I'm sure Kazuchika Okada is thinking that he only needs to do that against. Oh, and why am I brain farting on Kenny Omega's name in Wrestle Kingdom? So it was it was pretty interesting. I'm not sure that I realized that Brandon Fields was using the Rainmaker as his finisher. But it is a cool move, and it's fairly easy to pull off, especially even in this setting. Yeah, Brandon Fields ends up retaining. It always helps to have the have the heel win it. It'll be interesting to see when they finally do change things over. Matt Taylor certainly seems like one of those guys that could be the one to take it away from Fields, just because he is fairly popular at these events. Aaron Williams is certainly a candidate, and we shall see. I mean, Onyx seems to be the anchor, but they seem to keep the title off of him, and they didn't really even reference any, future championship shot for him. It was just really Aaron Williams that got that those duties. So I would imagine that next show here, which will be at the Anarchy at the Arnold, which will be over the weekend of my birthday, come March, will be the ones to. I would assume they'll be the ones to battle it out. We shall find out. But again, I do enjoy these events. They start on time. They end at a fairly early hour. We got to go to Grove City Brewing, which was only about 10 minutes away from the venue. And have a couple of beverages afterwards and get a stamp on the Columbus Ale Trail. So that was nice. And yeah, I think that about wraps things up for this review. I will have to see if the official podcast of New Ohio Wrestling has a show posted about this event, because, it's kind of funny. Me and promotions seem to have a love-hate relationship, because I know that when Justin Labar and those, I believe, from WrestleZone got into New Ohio, not New Ohio Wrestling, but Prime Wrestling slash Prime Wrestling, I think it was at that point. I got a bit irritated. This time around, I know that at least the channels that be tend to retweet and like our stuff, so I will let it slide. There's at least some advertisement, even if we're not the podcast of New Ohio Wrestling. But I'm just gonna go and straight up assume that I'm doing more work for them than their official podcast. So with that, I hope you enjoyed the show and the review, and we will see you sometime in March.